David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. We needed him. We couldn't take a chance of not speaking to him on Thursday because anything could happen. David, how are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Sanati.
Morning.
David, I'm going to ask you to speak up a little. For some reason, yes, it is a bit faint. I keep doing that because when you're on the phone, I keep saying to you, don't use your psychologist voice.
I'll try not to.
No, we can't do soft and soothing today, David. Otherwise, we can't hear you.
We have to be loud and assertive. How's that?
Right, exactly. Okay, David. So I'm not speaking for anyone else. I'm speaking for me. I am very nervous about 3 days in complete isolation. I like my family. Yeah. They're very nice people. But I don't know how, as an observant Jew who can't now go out, who can't see people beyond the five of us under our roof, who can't talk to anybody, watch anything, get distracted by anything, I have to say I'm a little nervous.
And as you should be, because...
Oh, you know my family, right. Wow.
Because I say this, you know, obviously I say this because in, you know, the busiest time of year, it seems like for myself and my colleagues, is like January and February, and often we ask why. And over the years, we've concluded, it seems, that it's because of the holidays. And everyone, you know, is on top of each other. We spend so much time with our loved ones, much more time than usual. And I think we tend to overdo it. And I know that sounds very strange, but I think it's so important to try find the balance between spending time with your loved ones, really appreciating the time, enjoying the time, but at the same time, you know, also looking for space for yourself. Mm. And I think that space is just as important. And we all are different. I think, some people are social beings and they really do want to be around people more than others.
It's need, David. It's not a want. I can tell you. No, I mean, Zanati's laughing at me, but for me, for me, people energize me, and it isn't really just a want; it is a need. I know that that I feel much better having been with people.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, it's so important for you to be around people. Mm. Some people just need a little bit less, or slightly less. And I think for me, as you say, I think you used a good word there, which it's a need. It's a need for some people. Mm. But I do think for me, even I would imagine from what you're saying, is even you who loves being around people, loves socializing, loves interacting, also needs, even if it's a little bit of time alone, just to be quiet and be on your be by yourself.
Well, I tell you, when I panicked was last night. My one son says, we were just talking about these 3 days coming up, and he said, and just to be clear, he says, we need to limit your reading time and sleeping time.
What?
In other words, am I the entertainment committee? I don't think so.
Oh no, I must say that sometimes happens at the table when my son says to me, "Okay, Dad, make me laugh."
Exactly.
What?
And then of course there's the other side of it. Karen says, "Good morning, David. I need ideas for my lone Seder. I am nervous to be on my own."
Yeah.
And that's now, also listen, very scary.
It is very scary. It is very scary to be alone. And I think for me, Karen, I think it's so important to, you know, to recognize that it is scary. You know, I think it's so amiss to say to people who are going to be alone for the 3 days, you know, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. It'll pass. It's not an issue. Now, of course, it's unbelievably difficult to be alone on a simcha, which is just so steeped in being together and togetherness and sitting together as a family and friends. So I think for me, the first thing, Karen, is to say, absolutely, there is a loss to this, and it is upsetting. This is not ideal or not what I really planned for. But I do think for me, what's so important, and it's interesting because I've been listening to, to people talking about, you know, isolation in general. And a lot of people have been, going to and quoting Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. It's amazing how it's
very much. I've seen it coming back all over the show.
Yeah, and there are so many, you know, people out there who can inspire us. But it's Viktor Frankl who's been chosen, and I think for me, because You know, at the moment we are searching for some kind of meaning in this. And I think, you know, we're asking why. And I think the most, well, one of the most important things when we look for meaning in this is, why are we doing this? You know, and what is the purpose of this? And I think it's to save lives. And, you know, often you say, like, don't be dramatic, really, don't exaggerate. But we actually are alone to varying degrees, whether it's just with our families or literally on our own, for a very, very important purpose. And the purpose is to preserve human life. And I think that's such an important starting point when we are sitting alone, to realize that this is such, it doesn't get more profound than that, that we are saving lives by sitting on our own and making this sacrifice. So I think again, when we turn to Viktor Frankl and we look to the meaning, you know, I think, is there any greater meaning than that? So I think that's an important place to start. But then I'll go back to my first point and say, yes, but there is a loss. And of course there's a loss. But just to try and keep that balance in mind.
So it's interesting to me, or a bit of a conflict for me, and that just talking about this Viktor Frankl business, is of course we know that he wrote a lot of his work was inspired by his time in the concentration camps, and every time I think of this, my problem is I keep thinking, Howard, don't be ridiculous. You're not in a concentration camp. You know,
yes.
This is, you're not exactly suffering. So shame, poor Bubala. So you can't have you can't watch Netflix for 3 days,
yes.
and you can't see your greater family or friends, but this is still not a concentration camp. So how do we deal with that? Because this is, but there is a, as you say, there is a suffering, or there is a loss rather, is the word, yes. The expression that you used. How do you, how do we not be dismissive of what we're going through when we see what others have gone through and might be going through?
Well, I think it's really about that balance. And yes, I think we are blessed in so many ways. We, thank goodness, are not in a position where we are being persecuted, where we are in a concentration camp.
I mean, this is not the Holocaust.
This is not the Holocaust. Mm. And I think for me, it's very important. And I think hopefully that can give us perspective on the situation, that absolutely we're not suffering to that degree. And we are, as we said, doing this for a purpose. But at the same time, Howard, I think it is very important. And this is where I sometimes worry, is that, you know, parents often say to children, you know, I remember years ago when we were young, sorry, Howard, Uncle Howard.
Yes.
You know, when there was a huge, huge famine in Ethiopia, and your parents often used to, you know, present you with vegetables or food that you really disliked. And you would say, I just don't like this. I don't want to finish this. I don't want to eat it. And they'd say, but you know, there are people starving in Ethiopia.
Yeah, why me eating my vegetables was ever going to help the Ethiopians is not something I understood to this day. But absolutely. Yeah. So we were brought up on that. Please stop complaining. You know, others have it worse.
Absolutely. And you know what I've been through, and what, you know, our grandparents went through, or do you know that, you know, you drive in the street and you see that people are starving. The point is, that it's so we just mustn't negate our experience. And I think that's the key thing, is that, yes, it's important to keep it in perspective, to understand where we fit in, you know, into the world, and kind of the list of suffering. But it's so important not to negate one's own feelings, because as soon as we do that, then we don't allow ourselves to really feel. And that's when we get into trouble. It's okay to feel. It's okay to understand that this is a very, very tough time. And then to see, and once we do acknowledge it, then we can work with it. And that's the whole thing. You know, I think often people misunderstand this, the idea of actually feeling the feeling, you know, allowing yourself to feel the feeling rather than just suck it up and be strong. It's not about only about like saying, well, now you're allowed to now wallow in your feeling. It's completely different. It's about saying, what do you feel? And now it's tangible. And now whether it's acknowledging it to yourself or talking to a person, a friend, a family member, or talking to a therapist, whatever it might be, that's the power. Because once you acknowledge it, then you can work with it. And once you can work with it, then you can get some kind of control over situation. Maybe not all control, but some kind of control. And that's unbelievably valuable.
David, just to summarize, your advice to us is to do the following.
I think my advice is to, I think in particular, if you're having seders on your own or there's just the two of you, I think to realize, to acknowledge, as we said, that there is a loss, and it is difficult. And even if you're just with your family and you're used to having a large groups of people around you, that absolutely this is different this year. And it is a loss to a degree, but to keep in mind, as we were saying, why we are all doing this, you know, what is this, as we were saying about Viktor Frankl, you know, what is the meaning of this? Why are we doing this? And really, it's so important that we realize that we're doing this to save lives and we're doing this to protect, you know, other people and ourselves. And I think then also the most important thing is use this time, try not to. Once we've recognized, you know, the loss and we realize that, you know, the negative or the difficult feelings we're feeling, I think then to try and look for perspective and try and use the opportunity and the situation that we're in a positive way.
Is Nati, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually thinking that's the advice that I'm going to give my mom, because I have been worried about her. I'm not worried about me because I'm with my brother and my flatmate and her sister. But I mean, my mom, this is like the first, because she usually goes to church. And, you know, I'm just thinking it has been a very lonely time for her. And now she's not, you know, able to go to church. And I just think, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, give her the advice that you pass on, the advice that you've given us. And, you know, for her to just stay still and realize that this is literally, we're doing all of this to save people's lives and to save her life, especially because, I mean, she's part of the, you know, older generation. And yeah.
And that's also very difficult.
Yeah.
As we were talking about it before, that we have to ground our parents. You're not leaving the house. You are staying exactly where you are.
Exactly.
And it's not easy, that.
But thank you, David. Sort of, yes, I'm going to pretend to my mom that I came up with all of that.
All right, Zanati. David, you comfortable with that? Zanati owning it, taking it like its own. It is a 7:30. David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, wishing you a Chag Sameach, a good Pesach, a wonderful time with your family, and only good things.
Thank you, Howard, and to you.